The Gospel of Mark has a very strange and very abrupt ending. Literally, it ends mid-sentence. Listen again to the verse number 8 from the New Revised Standard Version's translation. So they, the women, went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Most biblical scholars agree that Mark intended the gospel story to end at this point. There are more verses in this gospel if you look it up. But most biblical scholars agree that the additional verses were probably added by editors or someone else who did not like Mark's non-ending ending. It was unsatisfying, they thought, and they begged for resolution, so they added a little bit to help it, to make it better. When is an ending not the end? When a dead man rises from a tomb, and when a gospel ends in the middle of a sentence. Truth be told, we are also more comfortable with an ending that strikes a major chord, that ties up all the loose ends and sends us forth with confidence and assurance full of alleluias. But this is not the case with Mark's version of the Easter story. If the scholars are correct and Mark's version intentionally leaves the story unfinished, not completed, unresolved, then there must be a purpose for it. Earlier this year, my husband John and I saw the movie Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and this movie was one where the ending left lots of the story unresolved. Perhaps some of you saw that movie. We sat there in the theater as the credits rolled and the movie music swelled. We sat there thinking about the story and what might have happened to the characters in the future. The ending of Mark's gospel is kind of like that, where you know there is more to the story, but it leaves you thinking about what might be, what could be, what should be. Not unlike musical compositions such as Franz Schubert's Symphony No. 8 in B minor, known as the Unfinished Symphony, or J.S. Bach's The Art of the Fugue, or Gustav Mahler's Unfinished Symphony No. 10, the ending of Mark's gospel is unfinished, not completed, unresolved. Why did the music end so abruptly? Well, either the composer died or ran out of inspiration, leaving it undone. Over the years, some, like those who added the verses at the end of Mark's gospel, have made attempts to finish this unresolved music, but while interesting, it never rings true to the original, either with music or in the gospel. There is an original series on the Amazon network called Mozart in the Jungle, which chronicles the story of the New York Philharmonic Symphony and its attempt to find a way to connect classical music with a new generation. In the most recent season's episodes, there is a storyline about a wealthy benefactor who loves Mozart's music. He also happens to be a computer science guru, as there are a lot of connections between music and math. The billionaire benefactor develops a robot whose name is Wham, W-A-M. Now, Wham stands for Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, not the British pop duo of the early 1980s led by George Michael. I know some of you are thinking that. Wham is a 5-foot-high robot programmed with all of Mozart's music and the ability, seriously, the ability to conduct an orchestra. Wham uses artificial intelligence, and the knowledge of Mozart's work has all been downloaded into his electronic memory. And with this artificial intelligence, Wham was able to compose the remainder of Mozart's unfinished Requiem. He presents his version of the ending of this Requiem to the new maestro of the New York Philharmonic, and in his robot voice, he tells the maestro proudly that his version is the closest to what Mozart intended. He's sure of it. The maestro, who is a human being, is appalled to watch the robot conduct the orchestra, as this is what the benefactor wants. The point of all of this is that we struggle with finding and filling in the rest of the story so that we can be content with it. We long for a Disney ending where everyone lives happily ever after and all the loose ends get tied up in a big, giant, beautiful bow. So that's why Mark's gospel's non-ending disturbs us. Of course, we know the rest of the story from the other gospel accounts of that first Easter, and it's a good thing we do, too, because Mark's version, if it were the only account, would leave us without the lilies and all the celebratory music. And yet, perhaps there is an important message for us today in Mark's unfinished ending. I graduated from college with a major in Spanish, and during my Spanish grammar classes, I learned that the Spanish language, unlike English, has something called the imperfect tense. Imperfect tense is not the past, nor is it the present, but rather describes an action that begins in the past and continues. The phrase in English, was walking, might be a close translation of the Spanish imperfect tense. The imperfect tense, that is, at some time in the past, a person started walking, and they are continuing to walk into the future. Now, you may be wondering, why am I giving you a grammar lesson on Easter? And I tell you, it is because I believe the Easter story is truly written in the imperfect tense. We can call it Easter imperfect. The Easter liturgy tells the ongoing story of how an ancient message that happened in the past, a message of an empty tomb, is being lived out in the lives of those who believe. It started in the past, but it continues into the future. Easter imperfect is the tense I believe we all live in these days. And with Mark's unfinished ending, we and disciples of every age are invited to help finish the story. How do we finish the story? We start by voicing our own hope in God's good news, trusting in God's power to triumph over death and despair. There is so much bad news out there. And as we work to finish the Easter story, knowing that God will have the final word gives us hope, but we need to own the hope. Trust the hope, voice the hope, be the hope we wish to see in the world. Easter imperfect. One of my good friends sent me an email this week telling me that for the past 6 years, she has been working on trying to grow orchids. It's been very, very challenging, as the plants kept dying on her, or at least they looked like they were dead to her. And then last week, she finally got a plant to rebloom. She wrote in her email that while she does not know what finally brought this plant to flower, what she does know is this. A few months ago, she made a decision. She actually told the plants that. She said this to them, "I am not going to give up on you." Despite the withering leaves, the dying stems that were in front of her, she decided not to give up. And then they started to flower. And not just one plant, but all of them. She has 6 pots of them. Who knew, she wrote in her email, it looked like death, but it was not. Voicing our hope in God's good news makes all the difference, especially when it looks like death is all around. And yet, even while we speak of hope and trust in God's power of resurrection as the final word, even while we speak this, the other thing we need to do is acknowledge that the struggle is real. We struggle to live with the unfinished quality of the story and the questions that remain unanswered. We struggle when it seems like death and despair and other powers and principalities have the upper hand, even as we know that God will have that final word. We struggle when the doctor says it's cancer, or there are not great medical options for you. We struggle when our loved ones die, or when we lose our job or can't find a meaningful job to do. We struggle when a relationship that we cherish has ended, or we face the amount of hunger there is in this world, or wars or injustice, or the epidemic of violence that is killing us. We struggle with the unfinished quality of the story and the questions that we remain for us as we wait for that final chord of resolution. It's important for us to remember that when Mark wrote his gospel down, it was around 70 years after Jesus died and rose again. It was during a time of war and persecution for Christians living in Rome, and it was not clear then, in 70 CE, it was not clear how the story for Christians would end. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why Mark chose to leave the ending unfinished, but pointing towards hope. Mark's gospel reminds us of Easter imperfect, meeting Christ in this old story and continuing to follow him into the future, voicing our hope and being real about the struggle. Hearing the call to complete the story and agreeing to write it with our lives and our faith and our witness. Offering food for the hungry, justice for the poor, as we follow the one who did these things and more. Easter imperfect. He is risen. He is risen indeed. In a preaching journal I subscribe to, I read a sermon on this scripture by the Reverend Robert Duncan, who is the senior pastor of University Presbyterian Church in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. His sermon, called Unfinished, inspired today's message, and I would like to conclude with his words. He writes this: "The Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. That's still the good news of this day, even in Mark's telling of it. It's more unsettling than satisfying in some ways, more challenging than cheerful, more muted than a satisfying major chord. But maybe that's exactly how Mark meant it to be. Perhaps he intended to unsettle us so that we would get up and go despite our fears, despite our reservations. In that sense, it's not the end of the story. It is, in fact, our story's beginning. The Christ is still searching for others to help compose the ending. We won't finish the story, not completely, which is in and of itself grace, but the ending that we will write, if our faith allows, may just have the ring of authenticity." Easter imperfect. Meeting Christ in this old story and continuing to follow him into the future, into all the Galilees where he resides, voicing our hope and being honest about the struggle. Easter imperfect. He is risen, risen indeed. Amen.